Selling Your Story, the art, craft, science, and business of authoring your first book. From MentorPath Publications. Read by the author.
Welcome to Telling and Selling Your Story. We're going to talk about the art, craft, science, and business of authoring your first book. The art of writing. First, the preparation, the backstory. It's been said that just about every smart, sensitive person harbors a desire to write a book because writing is a natural way for a contemporary person to learn, express, integrate, and feel really alive. All true. More than 80% of adults in America say they want to publish. Just over 1% actually do, however, and that includes articles, editorials, all forms of writing, not just books. Traditional advice has been to write about what you know. Here's another more exciting and creative possibility. Write to see what you have to say. Write about what you most want or need to learn. Several years ago, when I was still practicing psychoanalysis, I was at a conference and talked with a friend who was an excellent clinician. I asked him, as we discussed a paper that was just presented, when he was going to present a paper. He said, "I'm going to wait until I'm sure I have something to say." I knew at that moment that he would never present a paper at this or any other conference. Those of you who have trained or mentored with me know that not knowing anything has never stopped me from talking. We're going to discuss how to write in a systematic, structured way for effective and successful results. We'll talk about what happens next when you schedule an appointment with yourself to write. Commitment. A prerequisite is a commitment and a game plan. Make sure your commitment and your game plan match. You know the words of someone who's not totally committed. "I'll try," "I should," "I ought to," "I want to," versus the words of someone committed. "I will." One of the great philosophers of the 20th century said, "Try not, do or do not. There is no try." That was Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back. And think about the difference between a 99% commitment and a 100% commitment. Here's the Texas version. A fish has no use for a lake that has water in it 99% of the time. USA Today newspaper did a study on individuals who made New Year's resolutions. They found two groups. Those who made a New Year's resolution and wrote it down, and those who made one but neglected to write it down. Of those who did not put their goal in writing, 4% kept their resolution. Of those who wrote down their resolution, 44% kept it. When you write down a commitment, it can result in a tenfold difference of follow-through. So first, write down your commitment to complete your book. Neurosciences teaches us that the brain works like a travel agent. The first two questions a travel agent asks, where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? Then program your brain to complete the book by a chosen date. How much do you want to tell and sell your story? One unknown author had a collection of heartwarming stories that he thought would make a good book. He shopped his idea to every publisher he could find. No success. He shopped it to 141 publishers in all, but was rejected by each. He believed in the book, but he was told repeatedly that it would not appeal to audiences. He decided to publish it himself and began selling it out of the back of his car. It had an unlikely title, Chicken Soup for the Soul. I personally heard Jack Canfield tell this story and have read it since. At last count, he has sold well over $1 billion worth of books. Vision. How do you write a book? Consider a related question. How do you find a yellow Jeep? A group of executives asked me to present a seminar to them on writing a first book. The first thing I asked was, "Have any of you seen a yellow Jeep in the last month?" There were 24 people present. One person raised his hand. Then I went through a visualization exercise with them. Let's do it now, unless you're driving. Close your eyes and visualize a yellow Jeep, the specific detail of how it looks. Walk toward it. Walk all around it. Look at the tires, the body, the trim. Open the driver's door. Look at the seat, the steering wheel, the dash. Smell the interior. Touch the seat. Get in the driver's seat, start it, and listen to it run. As you turn it off and walk away from it, look again at the vehicle you were just in. Open your eyes. In the next week, see what happens. I ask the executives to contact me if they happen to see a yellow Jeep in the next week. 22 of the 24 executives contacted me in the first 3 days to say that they had spotted a yellow Jeep. What happened? What someone sees, what appears on the radar screen, is determined by belief and assumption. A yellow Jeep was programmed as possibility. The most common reason people don't write a book is that they don't believe they really can. Or if they do, they don't devise a specific plan and stick to it. The same reason that people don't earn money and accumulate wealth to a greater degree, they don't see themselves capable of it. I can tell you how much money people will make by listening to their assumptions. Once you genuinely see yourself completing your book, all sorts of things began to happen. You've already coded your radar for writing your book, including listening right now. We'll discuss how to evolve that vision. Let's do an exercise about choice. It's based on the principle that it takes just as much energy to construct a negative belief as it does to construct a positive belief. Do this exercise with me. It may feel a little goofy, but I'd suggest doing it anyhow. Say out loud 2 things you can't do. For example, I can't finish this article I'm writing. I can't get the clutter out of my office. I'll pause for you to say yours out loud. Now, restate each, but substitute won't for can't. I won't finish this article I'm writing. I won't get the clutter out of my office. I'll pause. Now say this sentence out loud 3 times. I am always free to change my mind. Out loud now 3 times. Once you're aware of choice, all you have to do is the next right thing. Once you begin thinking about your specific book, you began to hear things in different ways. You began to hear examples. You began to think about stories. Incidents become vignettes. Ideas began to crystallize. You think about what you want to say and become aware of how you want to say it. You become an even better listener. It makes you a better speaker. A caveat here. No one ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences, maybe a page. Mozart never sat down to write an opera. He had a medley in his head and let it speak to him continuously until the story of the music emerged. Perseverance. The most important thing about a goal is having one. The most important thing about a plan is to stick with it. Wisdom is to know the right path. Integrity is to take it. A clearly defined goal can capture imagination and inspire passion. It can cut through the fog like a beacon in the night. 1 extra degree of effort in business and in life separates the good from the great. 51 publishers turned down Richard Bach to publish Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He took it to number 52. At 211 degrees, water's hot. 1 more degree and it boils. To get what you've never had, you'll probably have to do what you've never done. Lord Eliot put it very succinctly. Perseverance is not a long race. its many short races one after another. Some guiding questions. There are three goals to clarify before you start writing. What do you want to write? What do you want to gain? Who do you want to reach? Here are 8 guidelines to consider before you write your first chapter. 1. Write for a specific preferred audience. You may want everyone to read it. For those of you who are coaches, remember how in the beginning you wanted to coach everyone until it was almost like an amputation to narrow it down, and then it paid off. John Updike said, "I write for someone a little to the left and below the center of Kansas." 2. Write a book title that tells and sells. Write a subtitle that tells the benefits the reader will get. 3. Write a silver bullet, a clear, sharply focused description of your book that can be recited in the time it takes an elevator to go from the ground to the 5th floor. It should clearly explain what your book is about, why it's special, and the precise benefits it will provide to readers. As you edit, assume the elevator is pretty fast. 4. Write your back cover before you write your book. It's the compelling ad copy of benefits to the reader. 5. Write your book introduction. The problem you address for your audience, why you wrote the book, its purpose, its benefits, and how you will present it. 6. Create a table of contents. 7. Write a book outline. And 8. Reach out for opinion molders, such as focus groups, various kinds of feedback, perhaps testimonials. Now, promise you won't run over to your desk and do all of these in the next 23 hours. We're going to systematically discuss all 8 of these aspects. Reflections to begin your first book. An initial step to create your book is to fully accept the reality of the process of writing and to evolve your identity as an author. I'll share a personal experience that was pivotal for me. It occurred when I began writing Making Memories, Reflections on Parenting from the Heart of a Father and the Mind of a Psychoanalyst. I went to the Iowa Summer Writers Workshop and shared with my group my dilemma. I was still practicing psychoanalysis at the time. I wanted to write from the heart, needing to use examples from my experiences as a parent, but I didn't want to burden my present and future psychoanalytic patients with knowing too much about me personally. Analysts think they have to remain anonymous to be a blank screen onto which the patient projects himself or herself. My feedback from the group was immensely useful. When you're writing, you're not an analyst, you're not a father, you're an author. Write like your subtitle says, from your heart and your mind. 2. You are thinking and feeling a book into existence. Then you'll craft it into a powerful message with a memorable story. 3. Do not imagine what your book is about, then write it down. You learn what your book is about by feeling, thinking, and writing. 4. You get your book done well by willing yourself to plan, organize, think, revise, tolerate confusion and uncertainty. The principle, to do whatever it takes. An exercise to address obstacles. Schedule a brainstorming session with yourself to do this exercise. This exercise is to identify and address any obstacles that you have. Examples include interfering self-talk, writer's block, anxiety about the unknown, feeling you don't know enough, worrying about no experience, concern about not having anything to say. make three vertical columns on a page. Title the left column Usual Cues. These are the prompts or emotional triggers that set you into a cycle of rumination, negativity, or stuckness. For example, I've never written a book before, so I may not know how to do it. Title the middle column Usual Behavior. In this column, write the usual response that you would have to each of the triggers or cues. For example, the behavior following I've never written a book before may be to just continue doing research rather than writing, or procrastination. Title the third column Desired Behavior. This is the specific adaptive or ideal behavior you desire, an alternative to the usual behavior. Here, you write the behavior that you will substitute for the initial thought or trigger and for the usual behavior. Make sure it's behavior and not outcome, because in this moment, you can only engage in behavior. Now, let's rename the middle column Old Story and the third column New Story. The idea is to quickly cue your radar to non-adaptive triggers or ideas in order to immediately substitute desired behaviors. By doing this, you do not further etch the old behavior in your brain, but instead reprogram new behavior. Neuroscience teaches us that we get what we focus on, not what we want. So be sure and focus on the right thing. The who, what, where, when, and how of writing. Who? Who do you write for? Your most authentic answer is for yourself. When you speak in writing, you do so to an intended audience. Who's your audience? If you can, identify specifically the audience you'll address. The more specifically you envision the reader, the more specifically and meaningfully you'll be able to speak. One possibility is to develop a persona, a characterization of your ideal reader. Develop that persona fully. Who that person is, location, age, occupation, marital and family status, and other meaningful information. By the time you've developed 2 to 3 ideal personas of your intended audience, you have an idea who you're speaking to. Your conversation comes alive as you talk to them. What? You must respect the marketplace, be attuned to needs, provide answers, make your approaches to answers accessible. Be attuned to what someone else wants and needs. You have to also be true to your own story. Your gift to readers is who you are. Writing is not a special language, a gift you were born with. Writing is thinking on paper. Anyone who thinks clearly should be able to write clearly. A what exercise. Think before you write. Sit down and think about your idea before you begin to write about it. How will you move it from current vague idea to a rich three-dimensional book? Think about what you'll write along these lines. What are you trying to communicate? What form your book should take? What chapters it should be divided into? What should go into each chapter? What of your experiences will you draw on to enhance the book? What research will you do to deepen the quality? This is the process that writers don't usually report and you don't usually see. The thinking part. All of these what questions. The preparation. Writers may in an interview say that their book just comes out or just came to them. It doesn't happen that way. Writing is work, and the only thing harder is rewriting. Where? Decide where you will write. Virginia Woolf emphasized the importance of having a room of one's own. Get your space ready. protect it from intrusions and noise. Put one or two things in there that will represent your commitment to writing. During the time that you've committed to write, protect that space and time from intrusions. Unplug your telephone. Your answering service or voicemail will take care of messages. There are few true emergencies in life. Talking to your buddy about who got kicked off American Idol last night isn't one of them, at least not during your writing time. Guard your writing time to allow full immersion. Protect your time. Every yes you have to pay for with at least one no. When? Make an appointment with yourself. Decide a schedule for writing that you will be loyal to no matter what. Everyone on earth has one thing in common. Our choices in life define us. Those who provide service to others, such as authors, money managers, therapists, leaders, teachers, coaches, especially parents, have their answers counted many times. What will yours be? Make it matter. Determine when you'll write. People used to ask me when I had a full practice in psychoanalysis and saw a dozen people each day plus teaching, when I found time to write. My answer was to say as gently as possible that I never found time to write. I created time. I grew up on a farm and ranch and got up before the sun to feed cattle. Rising early is still a natural for me. During all of my years of parenting, I would still get up early on Saturday and Sunday mornings and have 2 or 3 hours to write before my two children woke up. At that time, I was fully ready to put my dictaphone down and roll on the floor with them most of the rest of the day. Decide what time of the day you write best. Know your biorhythms. Think about when you're most creative. Consider what may be a natural time to write and when you most have the inclination to do things like editing. Writing and editing are two different states of mind and need not to be combined. You need to decide when you do each best. How? To continue this idea, recognize your natural style of writing. Are you a visual, auditory, or kinesthetic learner? Respect that style as you write. Some of you will do best visually, at a keyboard, seeing the words appear on the screen. Consider if you're primarily an auditory person. Use a dictation device. I've written all my first drafts by dictating them. In that way, I can better envision a person or audience when I'm talking to dictate. It's natural. It's the way I spend my day, talking to people, earlier in therapy and analysis, now in coaching. Then, when the dictation is transcribed, I put it into piles. And I have a name for those piles, chapters. Some of you may do better by writing it out longhand, so get a lot of yellow pads. I'd recommend the ones with the really thick backs. Somehow I think that makes writers better. Consider also your work and performance styles. That's not talked about as much, but I think it's very useful in writing as well as in coaching. There's a paper on this subject, Toward Brain Hardware Optimization, in the articles section of my website, www.mentorpath.com. One suggestion, whenever you have an idea, even if it's not during your writing time, write it down. Capture it. Get it into typed form. Research on memory tells us that a new idea or fact lasts an average of 40 seconds in short-term memory. Then it's gone, unless you write it down to review. Haven't you had the experience of thinking of a great phrase, a really catchy way to say something, and think, I'm sure I'll remember this later, and later never comes? One principle we know from coaching. When people are asked what they intend to do, they're more likely to act according to how they answer. When you ask people the day before an election if they intend to vote, it increases the probability of their going to vote by 25%. A study of 40,000 people asked, "Do you intend to buy a new car?" The question increased purchase rates 35%. Other behaviors with increased frequency, asking people if they intend to eat certain foods, to diet, or to exercise. One of the basic steps in coaching is to include in each session the frame of an action plan for the next week that the client intends, commits to do. Your commitment to yourself. Write down your who, what, where, when, and how. Specifically address your intention and plan. Make an appointment with yourself and keep it with the same loyalty that you do as an appointment with your doctor, dentist, or accountant. Writing doesn't result from inspiration. It results when you decide to sit down and write. Creativity. There's a natural, innate energy inside each of us to create. When we open ourselves to our creativity, we allow our internal experience to flow through whatever channels are natural: words, pictures, movement. Creativity is a natural part of life. As you begin the process of your book, don't compare your inside with somebody else's outside. Somebody else's outside may be a complete book, and when you pick the book up to read it, it will seem daunting. That author didn't begin with that complete book. He or she began with an idea, and then a few lines that were crafted, and then reworked again and again. A great deal of thinking and a great deal of reading are required to write a book. In discussing their book after it's out, writers often omit or minimize the amount of work that it takes, the amount of work that went into a book. A nostalgia bias. Nostalgia is to remember it better than it was. Airbrushed memories set on an idealized stage. We then compare our inside with their outside, their completed, published book. Again, no one ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences. You sit down for an hour at your desk and stay there at the time you've decided to commit to writing, just in case some random string of words occur to you or that you create and need to capture. 10 caveats for writers. 1. The most important thing about a plan is having one. The second most important thing about a plan, sticking to it. 2. Write every day. It will help you think like a writer. 3. Read every day. It will help you think like a writer communicating to a reader. 4. Write in a voice that sounds like you. Writing is not a contest. Writing is a transaction, a relationship between two people, you and the reader. 5. Use language simply and warmly. You'll be able to make any subject clear. It can be reduced to good English. A clear, simple sentence is no accident. 6. How you write will be how you are perceived. Your writing may be the only way to introduce yourself to someone whose business, trust, affection, or money is what you want. So sound like yourself and be yourself. If you don't say indeed, don't write it. If you don't say one would think, then don't write it. 7. Keep the burden of clarity. Writing is about creating meaning. Rewriting is about crafting meaning to make it optimally useful and accessible for the reader. Plan from the beginning to keep the burden of clarity of communication. Don't shift it to the reader or listener. You maintain the ownership of responsibility in this way. 8. Have the end in mind from the beginning. In the film The Lookout, Lewis, a blind man, helps his mentally challenged roommate make sense of things by thinking of his day as a story. Lewis said, "Start at the end. Can't tell a story if you don't know where it's going." 9. Take some positive action toward your goal every day, even if it's just one. At the end of the month, you'll have 30 completed actions. Or if you just write 2 paragraphs a day, 60 paragraphs at the end of the month is a bunch. That's a West Texas literary term. 10. Decide what you want. Believe it's possible. A belief is a filter between reality and our perception. A belief is the mind's command to the brain, the software program that determines our behavior. We now know that beliefs can actually turn genes on or off. Highlight this equation. Beliefs drive behavior. Behavior drives performance. You can change your life by changing your beliefs. Our possibilities are only limited to the ones we allow ourselves to see. A final story. A destitute young housewife had almost no money. She couldn't afford a babysitter or a computer. But she had a story to tell, and she was determined to do it. She decided to write. As soon as she started writing, her mother dies at age 45 from multiple sclerosis. Her marriage to an abusive husband ends in a divorce. Shortly thereafter, she had a miscarriage. After that, she gets fired from her job and lives on government welfare. She takes her baby to a coffee shop in the middle of the afternoon and writes on a legal pad while her baby takes a nap. She does it every day for 4 years. Then, after much work, she finally found a publisher for Harry Potter.